This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. No Perry French this week. I gave him the week off. He's been working very hard with that incredible wedge short game clinic stuff over at Man of War Golf on Thursday night. Just brilliant. But he'll be back next week. And so I am starting the show this week with our longtime friend, one of the best, the former longtime Golf Week columnist, now a contributor to the Morning Read, READ.com, which is fantastic, our buddy Jeff Babineaux, joining us on Backspin Golf. Jeff Babineaux, how the heck are you?
We're doing okay. You know, we're hanging out in Orlando and making the best of things.
Well, good for you. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear. You know what, Sean? I'm just going to ask him this. You're a Red Sox fan, right?
Oh, ouch.
Well,
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. No, I'm just...
No, I am. I'm diehard.
I know you are. That's why I said it. But this has been a rough... It's not even a season, though, Jeff. This is what... Yeah. I know this is a golf show, but it's like, you know, I'm a big Yankees fan. It's like everything about it, like everything else in 2020, it's just weird. So even though... Like, the Yanks are losing now, they're in a streak, the Red Sox aren't very good and all that. It's almost like, do we really get so invested in it that we care? We don't care as much as we do in a normal year, do we?
Well, I mean, I certainly don't. I checked out early. I knew the Sox were going to be bad. I didn't know they were going to be this bad.
Yeah, well.
But I usually buy the baseball package, and I didn't even ante up and buy it this year. I knew they were going to be terrible. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I kind of have hitched on a little bit this summer anyway to the Rays. They're right down the road. I'm in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
They're over in Tampa, and
right.
They're a scrappy little bunch.
I
kind of like that team.
That's a good team, and of course they just swept the Yanks. So you know, thanks.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh
right.
yeah. All right. I was just curious because I have several friends who are big Sox fans. All right, let's talk some golf. I want to start with you. With this guy, Dustin Johnson, who does it seem to you like people forgot how good he was, that he was the number one player in the world and did all this stuff and has gone through things like every golfer does, and all of a sudden he shoots 30 under? Really? It's like, oh, yeah, that's Dustin Johnson, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's a good golf course. I've covered TPC Boston almost every year since they came around in 2003.
Uh-huh.
And it's a strong golf course. You know, Arnold Palmer designed it, and Gil Hance and Brad Faxon went in, made some really nice changes.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't get wind last week.
Right.
So that helped, certainly. But, you know, Harris English, he kind of was beating the – he was trying to beat the darkness and – putted real quick. Took him four putts to get in the hole from off the edge of the 18th green. But if he makes birdie there, he'd have been one shot off the all-time record at that place. And he just got lapped, you know. I mean, he loses by 11. Daniel Berger never shot higher than 67. He lost by a dozen shots.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, Dustin Johnson's one of those talents that, like a Rory, like a Tiger, when it's all there, he can really distance himself, and what a reminder he served us last week.
Yeah, all those stats, and, you know, the best part about it to me was you shoot 60, and it's not even the best score of the day. I mean,
yeah,
that day was you know, I can't believe he missed that. I thought he was going to shoot 54 at one point.
I know. Well, yeah, who shoots? Only Dustin could shoot 60 and walk off completely disappointed. You know, seven pars to finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought something. I thought he might go crazy low too, the way he was going, and he just kept the pedal down. I mean, did he miss one? I think he missed one green on the weekend.
Yeah,
drove it great, putted great. I mean, he put it on him, so it was impressive. And then, what do we expect him this week? You know, it's Dustin. I mean, is he going to stay red hot like that? I tend to think he might, but who knows? You know,
yeah.
he's the same guy who was shooting 80 at Memorial just down the road.
Right. He had a couple of rounds like that too. But it seems like last weekend, because he's had some of it is mental, but he's had some physical stuff going on. You don't shoot 30 under if you're not physically healthy for 4 days. So I think, you know, that's probably a part of this. Let's move on to the other side of this story for somebody who missed the cut the week before and played in his first PGA Champions Tour event. Named Phil Mickelson. And now, I almost think it's unfair. Do you think that the Champions Tour should have a rule for guys who are as good as Phil when they turn 50, they can't join the tour? Like just have a committee to decide. Because I looked at some of those holes on the Champions Tour, and there's still a lot of good players out there. But they had three or four 350-yard par fours, and it's 3 days with no cut. So it's almost illegal for him to be out on that tour, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if he could drive it anywhere straight, I mean, his length's going to be such an asset. And then, you know, we know what he does with the wedges, and he can get the putter going. But you know, the flip side of that, when he went out last week, I said, you know, there's a lot of pressure on that guy. It's not a 50-year-old. You know, Rich Beam made his debut last week, and it was barely noticed.
But I didn't even notice. I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so when Phil goes out there, and, I mean, that guy, he's supposed to win. He's not supposed to finish tied for eighth, you know?
Yep.
So it's kind of interesting. I think there's some pressure to answer, and he answered. He played great. He went wire to wire. He even kind of didn't play great on his final nine and still had plenty of cushion. So I thought that was cool. And, you know, I think guys see the bigger picture that Phil Mickelson playing the Champions Tour is got to be good for business. They want to see him out there a bit. And I don't know that we're going to see him out there a whole lot, but we'll see.
I mean, I know that I watched part of it, and if there's nothing else on and I feel like watching golf, I'll put the Champions Tour on for a little while and I'll watch or whatever. But I know even though there were people on Twitter going, oh, big deal. I know a lot of people watched part of that, at least, because Phil was out there playing and they wanted to see what he was going to do.
And Phil's one of those guys, right? He moves the needle big time. So that's a huge, huge feather for them. You know, you think of all the guys in the past when Palmer used to play out there, it was huge. When Nicholas would play, you know, they used to have a great event in Tampa, and Nicholas would come and play, and it just ratcheted that event to a different level.
Right.
Because he wouldn't play a lot of times. He wouldn't show up a lot of times. And some of these guys that are great champions, that never really worked out on the Champions Tour. I mean, you still have to grind a little bit and work on your game. I mean, didn't work for Paul Azinger or Nick Faldo, or, you know, Norman didn't play it much. So, you know, in the end, I think the competitiveness in Phil – don't want to be out there competing for trophies. I mean, I know he wants to win them off the younger guys, but every now and then to pop out there, maybe play some majors, that'll be a great thing for that tour.
Yeah, be awesome. All right, something else I wanted to discuss with you. This is really cool, and this just kind of happened. They have announced that there's going to be a kind of a Ryder Cup-style charity match at Big Cedar Lodge at the new – it's the first course that Tiger designed, and it's the Payne's Valley Cup. They're going to play it. Tiger and Justin Thomas against Rory McIlroy and Justin Rose on September 22nd. I think this is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you travel. You maybe have you been to that place. I have not.
I haven't. No.
It just looks beautiful, and it just seems, you know, relaxing, pretty easy to get to, I would think. And, you know, what better way? I mean, Tiger has Blue Jack National, and he's got a couple of – he had a course in Asheville, I think. I don't even know if it ever even opened. But, yeah, he's very few of his designs opening here in the States. So to open it that way, I think it's a great way to open. I mean, a lot of excitement, something the members there are always going to remember, you know, if they get to walk around with that match.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. You know, we need a little Ryder Cup fix. We're not going to get it for another year. So
I know. We'll take it. Here's the thing. It's a public golf course, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and it is gorgeous. I mean, and they're all going to be mic'd up again. And I think, you know, we all saw the first time that Tiger did it, and the novelty was cool, and because of the pandemic and all that and everything. But I think Tiger, having him be with Justin Thomas and Rory and Justin Rose will be really cool. The four of them, I like that idea of them being mic'd up.
Yeah, it is a good idea. And yeah, it is a great, you know, it was good that JT was an announcer in the match they did at the Medalist.
Because
there's a comfort level, Tiger, with him, you know. And when Tiger's with guys he's real comfortable with, he's going to let his guard down a little and have a little more fun. So, yeah, that's a good mix. That'll outdraw a lot of fall events, I would think, as far as interest goes. So that'll be a fun one, and it's a memorable way to open up a golf course.
Yeah. All right. In a couple minutes we have left, usually we kind of discuss a couple of the topics we're going to talk about. I didn't mention this to you, so I don't even know if you did. Did you watch the Women's Open from Royal Troon?
Yeah, I watched a fair amount of it, yes.
Oh.
It
was fantastic.
Great story.
Wasn't it great?
Inspirational. Yeah, one of the great stories of the year, Sophia Popov. I helped do PR and cover a Symetra Tour event last year at the start of the year here in Florida, and she's in the field. You know, she's a minor leaguer. She was caddying a few weeks ago on the big tour for a friend. So and, you know, she made something that it really rang. There's so much sense in it. You know, you can lose by 20 shots to a player on any given week, but you're really not that far off. You know, you're a few bounces and just playing better. And she said she had the week of her life. And, you know, what a great week to have it, a great venue. Now she has 5 years of security on the LPGA.
Yep.
Ahead of her. It didn't get her right into some other majors. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
but,
I
you know, that's okay.
I'm going to have actually Emily Kay on, who used to be a great writer. I'm sure you know Emily. I want to ask her this, too, because I don't understand why she is, maybe you do, that she's not playing in the ANA Inspiration, the major, or the U.S. Open after winning the Open Championship.
Well, it could be because, much like Daniel Berger, not going to have a shot at playing in the Masters in November, where he's, you know, fourth in the FedEx Cup and top 15 in the world. Those fields were frozen. I'm sure the ANA was frozen in March.
Okay.
So I don't think it would be right to give away a spot that somebody earned to get in that field.
Right. Okay.
And the Women's Open, I'm not sure if they came out with their exemptions at the same time as the men, but the men's exemptions have been out for weeks. So with a few odd chances to qualify in. So it's just different times. So some of those fields were frozen, and
all right.
And someone like Daniel Berger is going to have to wait till April to get his Masters.
Yes,
on.
But see, now Sean will tell you, anger is a big part of my persona now, and you just diffused it by saying, well, maybe the field was frozen. Darn it. You know?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll get you angry about something.
Oh, okay. You'll find it. all right. Well, it's been great talking to you, and as always, and we'll catch up again real soon. I know I want to talk to you. We got a couple of big events coming up on the men's team.
Yeah.
I mean,
we do. It's exciting, yeah.
So, All right.
Six majors in about, 10 months or so.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
All right, pal. Stay safe.
You got it.
Always great.
All right. Same here.
Thanks,
anytime.
Man. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Jeff Babineau. The great Jeff Babineau. All right. We'll be back. It's Backspin Golf. And oh, yeah. Good morning, Chris Mascaro. Let me tell you something, peeps. Next on the Tee is brilliant. Every week, it's just brilliant. Check it out. Go to podbean.com. You can check it out there. All right. We'll be back. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And somebody that I haven't spoken to in quite a while, that's one of my favorite people, but she's retired. And I don't like to bother people that are retired. I should be retired. I wish people weren't bothering me. So I always keep in mind when somebody is retired, I'm like, you know, but I couldn't take it anymore. So Emily Kay is joining me now from her, let's see, Em, this will be good, from her retirement villa on the coast of Italy. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Hi, Emily Kay.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. I hope you are. Boy, didn't that sound nice?
Yeah, it sure does. I wish I were there, except they won't let us into their country. So
yeah,
there's that.
I know, there's that. That's all of us when we say, you know what, I'm going to, oh, wait, we can't, not yet. We have to wait a while for that. As the longtime writer for SB Nation, member of the Golf Writers Association of America, when I was watching last weekend the AIG Open Championship, the Women's Open from Royal Troon, and I watched pretty much the whole thing from Thursday till Sunday, I thought of you quite often because
because of how
much I loved your writing about the women's tour and just in general. And you and Beth Ann Nichols, to me, are the two voices in my head when I'm watching women's golf. And
wow, that is quite the compliment.
Well,
you can't see it, but I'm blushing.
No, I can see it. Oh, you don't know about that. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
Whoops.
But I really did, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on one of the great stories in sports. As I said, this wasn't just a golf story. This is a true story of never giving up. And she totally epitomized that the entire way through. I just wanted to get some of your thoughts on that.
Well, I couldn't agree any more than that. I mean, anyone looking for inspiration to keep on keeping on whatever they're doing should look to Sofia Popov. I mean, we can start with the, you know, the numbers. She started the week at number 304 in the world rankings.
Yeah.
No one's ever won a major with a lower ranking. She had no LPGA status because she lost that last year and then failed to win it back at the Q Series by one measly stroke.
Yeah.
She was caddying in an LPGA event 3 weeks before.
Yeah.
And she almost quit playing last year. And all of this is while overcoming a debilitating Lyme disease that went undiagnosed for 3 years starting in her 2015 rookie season. So, I mean,
you know,
where do you go from there?
I didn't realize that part. I knew she talked about the physical hardship she had to overcome. And then when after she had won and I read so much more about her, that Lyme disease thing now, Jimmy Walker on the PGA Tour has had to deal with Lyme disease for the last, I want to say, 3 years or 4 years.
Yep.
I have two friends that have Lyme disease. It was so hard for me to wrap my head around that it went undiagnosed for that long. It's just...
Well, I mean, indeed. I had an aunt who had Lyme disease probably for the last 15 or 20 years of her life.
Wow.
I mean, she was the most active person I've ever known, and this really just, you know, knocked her for a loop. And she was obviously much older than Sofia Popov, but it can knock down anybody.
Right.
And to deal with all of that on top of having the pressure of trying to succeed on any tour, in any sport, but in golf, it's just you. You don't have any teammates to lean on.
Right.
I mean, it's really quite incredible.
Her, and we shouldn't forget, and this is also adding to how great this was, she decided that the way for her to do this, to get back to the LPGA Tour, was to play on the Symetra Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been at Symetra Tour events. And that tour is, well, I mean, they're among the best in the world, too. And for her, I love that a couple weeks before she played, or the week before, she played in a Symetra Tour event because she had committed to doing that and then got on a plane, landed in Scotland on Tuesday, played one practice round on Wednesday at Royal Troon, and then did what she did. It's almost, it's kind of unbelievable, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, if somebody wrote this, they wouldn't, you know, one would believe it.
Right.
Because truth is definitely stranger than fiction. I mean, it's incredible what she did. I mean, she had three minor league events that she had won before this.
But the Cactus Tour.
Cactus Tour in Arizona. I mean, whatever that is, I have to say.
Wait. For people that are listening, I talked about this because during the pandemic, no tours were going except
that's
the Cactus Tour. And so there were some big names out in Arizona who played in those events. So winning three of them was pretty, pretty great.
Exactly. And then, you know, this has been 300 years since we went into this pandemic lockdown.
Yeah.
But it's really only been a few months.
Right.
And she won three events in that time.
Yep.
I mean, in addition to everything she's dealt with, to go out on tour in the middle of a pandemic, I'm not sure. That takes a lot of guts to begin with. Guts, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's kind of frightening.
Yeah. But, and also just to cap this off, she got in because of the pandemic, so many of the international LPGA players were not at the Marathon Classic. So she got into that event and finished ninth, and that's how she got to go to Royal Troon.
Yeah.
I mean,
the field wasn't filled. The field was not full, and so she got her opportunity, and boy, did she make the most of it.
Just and fantastic. And I don't think you know this part of it. Her caddy / boyfriend, Max.
Right.
They were wearing blue ribbons on their hats because here in Lexington, we had a young man on the golf team named Cullen Brown, who was 20 years old and about, I want to say a month ago, passed away from a rare form of cancer. And her boyfriend, caddy, Max, went to Kentucky and played golf with Cullen. So that was a tribute to Cullen.
Wow.
And, you know, for us here, that kind of added to it. The whole thing was just phenomenal.
You know, this, I of all the golfers out there today, she's the person I really like to meet the most.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope this isn't a one-shot deal, because I think her story is so inspiring.
Yes.
And her win was so mesmerizing. I just would love to see her, you know, keep on being a face of the LPGA, or become a face of the LPGA Tour.
I agree. And so many people do agree. And, you know, she, her whole story, but for her to win not only at Royal Troon, but in the conditions that were there the first 3 days, the field that was there, the best players in the world. And she talked about her level of confidence now. She's healthy, finally. I don't think this is a one-time thing. I mean, she's not going to win every week, but I think she's going to be, you know, a force to be reckoned with on this tour. And that,
I hope so. And when she, after she won, she jumped from 304 to number 24 in the world rankings, which is the largest jump in LPGA history. I mean, there are so many historic things that she accomplished. It's really, wow.
And We should
I want to be her when I grow up.
I know. You ain't never growing up, Em. No. I'm just telling you. And that's a good thing. Here's the other great part of this. She has a five-year exemption on the LPGA Tour, which means the world, as we all know, to anybody trying to make it on the LPGA or the PGA Tour. You get a win. That's a five-year exemption. It changes your life. You don't ever have to worry for 5 years where you're going to be going if you want to.
Unfortunately, I mean, it's just a kind of a minor blip, but she's not eligible to play in the ANA Inspiration, the second major of the year. But then after that, she gets her five-year exemption.
Yes, but I wanted to ask you about this. She also doesn't get to play in the U.S. Women's Open.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me?
I cannot.
Oh, okay, great.
I wish I could.
Nice talking to you.
See ya.
No, I mean, I read that too, and it has to do with something about, I don't understand it. This was not an LP. She didn't get any points because it wasn't a LPGA event, this Open Champion. I don't understand any of it. How could she How could she win this major and not be eligible to play in all the majors? I don't get it.
I don't know. I that's a very good question because it doesn't seem right to me.
I'm going to get the commissioner of the LPGA on the phone. But the women, the Women's Open is the USGA, so I got to talk to them.
Oh, well, that's and true.
Maybe I have a lot of contacts with the ANA Inspiration. I'll give them a call, too.
You got to get this woman out there.
I do. Actually, maybe I should get in touch with her and become an agent for her. Oh, Sean says that's good. He's trying to get me out of here, I think, so that would be the way to do it.
Conflict of interest is all the rage these days, so why not?
That's true. Okay. I should just ride it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's talk for just a couple minutes that we have left about the LPGA Tour, what's going on, something that bothers you, something that you like, anything, whatever
about
you
about the LPGA?
Yeah.
I've been just really focusing on her at this point because she's so exciting to know about and to watch. And I'm really looking forward to when she finally does get back out there, tuning into golf again, because frankly, with everything that's been going on in this country, in this world, it's kind of taken a back seat.
I know because you're retired, you haven't been watching as much as when you were writing about it and you had to. But this whole, how do you feel about the no fans thing?
Well, I'm very, I happen to be someone who's quite compromised in, with my immune system.
Yeah.
So I take a lot of precautions, probably more than most people.
What I meant was if you watch it on TV.
Oh.
With no fans. See, other than the majors.
I like it. I kind of like
too.
It.
Me too.
There's no heckling. There's no one with a camera.
There's no guy yelling.
Tiger can't. Really, Tiger can't turn around and yell at somebody and have his caddy throw somebody. Yeah. I mean, you know, it certainly does take something away. I mean, all sports really thrive on having fans in the stands or on the court or the course.
Right.
But, you know, we got to do with what we have at this point. And if they can play and continue to play, which, by the way, I question, and we'll see, but and they don't have fans anywhere, then that's what they have to do.
Right. I like it because I've said this many times, you get to see on TV, you get to see the whole golf course and the way it was designed. But having said that, it would have been fantastic for our young woman, Sophia Popoff, to walk up 18 with a crowd roaring. For.
Yes, that's, it would. I mean, that's definitely, I know that would, well, at least they didn't have those cardboard cutouts that they have.
That would have been funny, actually. All right, I have one final question.
Yeah.
You're a Red Sox fan, right?
Oh, not right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Not after last night, tell you that.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I mean, I think you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it.
I was gonna give you a little
tweak you. Yeah.
But since my Yankees suck too.
I was gonna say also the Red Sox But that's not the major reason.
Okay.
Oh, you're the greatest. God. I mean, oh, my God. They trade away Mookie Betts. Oh, please. I know. We shouldn't have gone down that road.
All right. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to. All right.
What do you mean the Yankees suck? They've been winning.
No, they're terrible. They've lost like six of their last eight. They're horrible and they're hurt.
Oh, good. Because that's another sport that I've wiped off the map at this point. So good. That's good to hear.
You're the greatest, Dan. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
And I've missed you so much. Let's do this again.
We will. I promise.
Great.
Okay.
Terrific.
Take care.
Thanks.
Stay safe.
You too.
Bye, Ann.
Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back to Backspin Golf. Since Perry French is not here this week, we decide to revisit a conversation I had with one of our favorites, the Shade Tree Pro, Charles Calhoun. Here he is. Joining us now, our buddy Charles Calhoun, the Shade Tree Pro. Hi, pal.
What's going on, man? How y'all doing today? John, how's everybody?
Good.
We're good. Before we start, you're down in Florida. You were talking about how hot it is. You know, as I said, it's summer down there. You can't stay inside, you know. You got work to do, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I got to hit balls.
All right. Speaking of hitting balls, now this is interesting. So I went online and I tried to watch Big Break 1, the very first Big Break, which you were a part of.
Yes.
And it's not easy to find. It's actually really hard to find. There's all kinds of weird things. But I was on YouTube. I went back to YouTube and you have, I don't know, conservatively, I don't know, 4,000 videos on YouTube. I mean, I'm telling you, you're like the busiest guy in golf.
I stay busy.
Oh, my Lord. I mean,
I don't sleep. Ask my wife. She'll tell you, yeah, I'm busy. I've got a plan. I keep telling people, I've got a real plan, you know, but I have to stay busy.
Well, here's the thing. I would stop, I'd see something, and I'd watch the video. And then I'd scroll down a little bit more, and I'd go, oh, this, I need this. And I'd watch the video. And all of a sudden, like, you know, 2 hours go by, and I'm still watching your videos. Here's the thing. I need to somehow get down there so that I can work with you in person, because I played this weekend. I need help, Charles.
Oh, man.
I need help.
You need to come see me.
I'm telling you.
And the biggest thing is most people just don't know, and like in any type of learning, and most people just don't know what they're looking for. For mm-hmm. example, you know, as I said, you know, when somebody takes a golf lesson, as I said before, the two fundamentals of holding the golf club in your hand and your feet touching the ground. And like my wife said, Charles, that's just too simple. I said, it might be simple, but that's what you have to do. Everybody in the world who plays this game must hold the golf club in their hand, must let their feet touch the ground.
Yeah.
And then you build your feelings around that.
Yeah.
And once you have those feelings, you know, you just start adding, just like the ingredients to a pound cake. 100 years from now, it's going to be the same.
Wow.
A pound cake is a pound cake. You know, you add strawberries to it and make it a strawberry, whatever. But you can't put, you know, as I say, you know, you can't put whipped cream on top of poop and call it a dessert. You know, you got to put the right stuff on it, man. You know, you got to know what you're looking for. And most people don't know what they're looking for. So that's what a teacher does. He tells you what you're looking for, but that only comes from what you visualize and what you're trying to do. And most people don't visualize what they do. They just get up there and swing, but they don't create pictures to create shapes of what it is that they're trying to do. If I say, hey, hit a fade, then all of a sudden you know the club face got to be open. I don't care how far it goes or whatever, but just visualize that picture and then start swinging that shape. And then your muscles and body will start adapting to it. But we're like, position here. This is, no, keep playing until you can get that shape. It'll get through, you know.
That is exactly my problem. And I'm being serious now. I will, and I think a lot, it's like I say, I watch, you know, I sat over the weekend and I played Saturday morning and Sunday morning. In the afternoons, I'd watch videos My two favorites are you and Padraig Harrington. Padraig Harrington has been doing great stuff during this COVID-19 business, and but what happens to me is I get to the golf course and somehow I have 10 of those swing thoughts from the videos in my head when I go to the first tee, and you can't really accomplish anything. I should do that on the range, not out at the golf course.
Well, you forget the most important thing. It doesn't matter how many thoughts you have in your head or whatever. Let's just like playing any sport. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter what the thought is. The point is that you what you're doing, you're not playing the game.
Yeah.
See, at the end of the day, you still got to hit the ball with the club face to play the game. Where the ball goes, it goes. But that focus never changes. See, you're thinking like most people. They think if they just make a swing, then the ball's going to go where it's supposed to go. That's not necessarily true. You have to create the picture in your mind of what it is that you're trying to do. And when you create that picture, then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, you know, your body starts saying, okay, I need to do this. Like if I just told you, hey, you know, Matthew, take off and then I yell, stop. Then automatically you know to stop. I say run, you know to run. Mm-hmm. Well, you could do that without thinking. Well, if I tell you to sit back and, you know, and if I say, you know, what I want you to do is just try to hit down the left side of the fairway or something, you know, then you need to visualize a picture of that and hit it. And mm-hmm. just keep doing it until you can visualize that picture. You know?
Yeah.
I tell people the worst thing in the game of golf is the word impact. I mean, it does nothing but destroy golf swings. And from an athlete, I'll just tell you this. No one ever walks up to one and says, hey, I'm going to see you impact that ball down the left side of the fairway.
Yeah.
Well, no. You know what I mean? It's just like, you hit it. So if you're trying to, like, my man, I'm going to have great impact today. In a sense, well, you defeated yourself before you even started, you know, because
yeah.
you're not thinking about impact. What you're doing is think about where that ball's going.
Yeah.
You know.
This is all so true. I mean, it's so true.
We get in our own way.
Yes. Well, I have a habit of doing that, not only with golf. I mean,
that's another radio.
Yeah, it is. We'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. My wife.
All right. Here, I want to talk to you about the big break. Last time when we spoke with you, we talked about that this was, you know, you were on the first, very first big break, and there have been, what, 22 of them now? Is that 20, right?
Yes, 22, something of that nature, yes.
Wow.
Somewhere around in there. Different types, yeah.
And they've been showing them because there hasn't been any live golf to watch. That's different now. But
correct.
They're still showing them. And tell us, I want to know, how did you get involved with the big break? Was there... Did you make videos, or did they see your videos and say, hey, we want the Shade Tree Pro? How did the beginning of it work?
Well, what happened is my wife and I was sitting around one evening, and the Golf Channel was, you know, it's what it was. But they had this little caption that came on and talked about, hey, the big break. I was living in Ohio at the time. I was living in Marietta, Ohio at the time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I was really playing good golf at the time. And it just happened to see it, and I just was like, what direction am I going to go? You know, because I was always looking, you know, like, where am I going? And I knew I wasn't going to be in Marietta, Ohio. I was like, I need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I need to do something, you know, I need to get out, whatever extent, you know. And this little caption came on and said, hey, the big break, blah, blah, blah. And me and my wife just filled it out, and then next thing you know, I end up getting, getting a call. And when I got there, I was in, TPC, TPC or something, right there in Dearborn, Michigan is what we did our tryout.
Okay.
Where they had the Ford Seniors Players Championship.
Yep.
And what happened is when I got there, there was a girl by the name of Stephanie Sparks. She also played in the movie Bobby Jones Story. She was on the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
And
yep. Stephanie I know Sparks, who she is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was from West Virginia, And, you know, and they think in most guys, and see, this is where being a bro kind of helps you out. Now, I'll be honest with you, you know. Now, here it is that Stephanie Sparks, she's a female playing on the played on the LPGA Tour. Of course, not figuring that I would know who she was, in a sense, you know, because she did okay on it, but wasn't a big star or anything in the nature. But running into her, I said, hey, you're Stephanie Sparks. She's like, you know who I am? I said, yeah, I'm from West Virginia. I said, we all look out for West Virginia people, da-da-da-da-da. And that kind of gave me, you know, it's almost like it kind of broke the ice for me and myself, you know, because I saw somebody that, you know, I was familiar with, and then, you know, I just became Charles. it was fun. But that's how I got on the show. I went, I did the audition. I did well. I did real well on the personality part, talking and running.
Shocking.
My mouth.
Yeah, that's shocking. Yeah. But go ahead.
but yeah, that's how it pretty much turned out. They gave me a call, and next thing you know, everything kind of got in order the way it needed to be, and I was on my way to Treetops Resort, and which was great because, you know, I had studied Rick Smith and remember when they used to play the par 3 tournament there with Freddie Couples and Rocco and Phil Mickelson and all that. And I just kind of liked Rick Smith's teaching because Rick was a good player and, you know, it was cool to meet him. I never really met, you know, a top type of teacher of that nature. And I just wanted to see, hey, do they know something better than I do? And of course, you know, I found out they don't, you know.
Of course
you know,
not.
You'll hit the ball.
That's
you know,
right.
Just like that. There ain't no secrets.
That's right.
Kind of how the show, I got set up for the show, and then I went there, and then you know, and it was fun. I mean, it just hit me at a time in my life where I was like, "Where am I going with this?" You know.
And it kind of showed you, I think.
Yeah, it let me be a little bit of who I am.
Yep.
You know, it let me be myself a little bit in a sense, and you know, and I saw certain things that, you know, it was interesting, you know, but we were the guinea pig show. And just like you said earlier about not being able to really find the show. And well, like I said, where now, you know, they did it in a couple of weeks. Well, they're doing theirs now. The newer ones they did, I think, over a 2-week period. I think ours was stuffed in to like a week or so.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I remember one guy on the second big break when they were flying in a plane. He's like, he made a comment about us on the first big break not getting those, you know, amenities. I was like, yeah, I like to step on your bare feet. but it was a great time.
It's a great story.
I've never seen it so cold in July, though. I've never seen a place so cold in July in my life. Jesus.
Well,
you're waking up and it's 30-some degrees.
Yeah, no, that ain't good.
No,
that's not good. All right, we only got a couple minutes left, but real quick, the PGA Tour at Harbortown and Hilton Head this weekend, and you, like all of us, you're sitting there watching it. And they got 5 guys that shoot 20 under or better at Hilton Head? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing I'm looking at. I'm like, good God, man. What's going on here? I mean, it's just but here's the great thing about it. Those guys golf their golf balls. It ain't have nothing to do with Bryson hitting it 700,000 miles
exactly,
or anything of that nature. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, and this is what I try to tell everybody, at the end of the day, it comes down to hitting those greens and making those putts.
Yep.
Webb Simpson, you know, and Webb Simpson made, what, 5 out of the last 7 holes he birdied?
Yep.
But then I also said, hey, look, let me tell you what. Webb Simpson got 5 kids. That was a birdie for each kid. And there was no way anybody below him, if they didn't have those mouths to feed, they weren't going to beat him. That's all I can say.
That's all right. That's Father's Day, too. Yeah.
On Father's Day.
Yep.
One for each kid.
Cool.
See, nobody looks at that.
Well, nobody looks at things quite the way you do, and it's why I feel the way I do about you, and so many people do. And you're just, you know, you're the bomb, dude, and I'll talk to you again real soon. I want to have you on as much as we can because I love talking to you. And I wasn't kidding. Hopefully, someday soon, I'm going to get down there and hang out for a while, and you can show me some of your stuff so I don't have to watch videos all the time.
Yeah, get down and enjoy yourself. I'm at a great facility. I'm at the Marriott Grand Vista. You know, used to be the Faldos or whatever. I'm a member out there, and everybody knows the guy with dreadlocks.
Yeah, okay. All right, Shade Tree Pro.
All right, gentlemen.
You're the man.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Bye. Charles Calhoun, he's so cool. He's really something. Sean, I wish I could go. I'd like to take a few lessons with the Shade Tree Pro. You would like to take a few lessons with him. Just hang out with him for a while. Or you could watch me take a lesson. There you go. Okay. All right. That'll do it for today. Thanks to our incredible partners, every single one of them. Man of War Golf, French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Rec, Edwin Watts, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Clark's Pump and Shop, Commonwealth Credit Union, and NFP Insurance, all of them. I do business with all of them personally, and they're just fantastic. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Sunday. This is ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.